The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Welcome back. It's Sam Smith, Sam Smith Podcast, and near the professional podcast, the near professional meaning I'm doing it. So let's get right into the upcoming schedule. As we know, the Bulls have been struggling some of late, big bad losses to Oklahoma City and Miami. I really hate to break this to everybody at this point, but the Bulls are really not as good as those teams. Has something to do probably with Derrick Rose being out, and I'll get into a little bit more of that later. That's kind of the teaser thing to get you to stay with this for more than 2 or 3 minutes. So anyway, looking forward, I think we're running into Charles Barkley again on TNT on Thursday, making fun of the Bulls. Well, making fun of the broadcast, actually, since the Bulls have the Sixers in TNT. You know, and these things are, I don't know exactly how TNT works these, but these things are planned out before the season. It's February 28th, a non-leap year. I'm sure if it was a leap year, it'd be different considerations. But given the last day of February with all the scheduling, my guess is they thought Derrick Rose would be back. They also probably thought Andrew Bynum would be upright. And neither one of those things is occurring. So the Sixers are in pretty much of a free fall, not only with Bynum still out, though he's indicated he plans to come back, probably to play 2 or 3 games toward the end of the season so he can ask for $12 or $15 million instead of $8. But I think, you know, Doug Collins, we always love when Doug Collins comes back because it probably isn't a more refreshing and candid coach in the league. He and Doc Rivers are just, you know, terrific to with the media and to talk to. And, you know, when Bynum worked out for the first time last week, I think Doug said appropriately, well, looks like a guy who hasn't played basketball for a year. So he wasn't exactly that optimistic. Right now, they probably are right up there for the worst front court in the league. And Jason Richardson's also out for the season. So they've been fellow devastated with injuries. And they and the Bulls can sympathize with one another, with obviously Derek out and Kirk Heinrich. His elbow problems has kept him out for on and off for a couple of weeks. So it's been a particular issue for the Bulls, given those were the 2 point guards that they had. So that game, and then the end of, you know, sort of the post-All-Star homestand with Brooklyn on Saturday. That was an interesting game. If you remember back to the beginning of February, the Bulls were in Brooklyn. It was actually my first trip back to my native city, and I wasn't really welcomed with any great appreciation. And as I recalled, I was equally scared to walk. Now, actually, the area is not bad. The stadium is nice as buildings go, backlit. The team, Brooklyn Nets, are a bore to watch. They play a slow walk-it-up thing, which kind of fits the Bulls' style, especially now without Derek, that the Bulls want to walk it up, play slowly, other than when they have a turnover and could run out, set their defense, shoot late in the clock, you know, turn into a defensive game, which is pretty much the way the Nets play. Back then, not only was Heinrich out, but Noah and Boozer were out that game. Mohamed and Nazi started at center with Nate Robinson in the backcourt. Taj started for Boozer, and the Bulls actually had a great shot to win that one down the stretch. Sort of faded at the end, understandably so. Much as I think, you know, they're having some difficulties now. I know Thibodeau loves to talk, and it's great to talk about, you know, we always have enough, we've got enough to win with, and it's uplifting, inspiring to the players to have confidence in. I always wish that some of the places I worked over the years had as much confidence and support. But that said, you know, if you're missing that many players and have that many injuries and calling on that deep a bench for that often a time and playing, you know, as many minutes. Guys just do wear out. And I think the Bulls are suffering some from that, especially when you play these faster teams like Oklahoma City. It's just really hard to keep up with. I mean, you could do all the fundamental things, move the ball, be patient, try to take care of the ball. But, you know, these teams just shoot you into getting into their game. I mean, Oklahoma City the other night, you know, took probably 40 shots that, you know, would give Thibodeau a heart attack. But they do so because they know they're going to get so many shots in the game and to speed it up. You know, obviously, without Derek and then with without Kirk to run the offense, makes it difficult to find a lot of shots as well. And also, you know, a good defensive team when they felt like it, but particularly some good long-arm defensive players like Ibaka, really to able to front Boozer. And, if you could deny a lot of that interior post play and then put him on the outside, it's a difficult thing to do. And then, you know, that pretty much wraps up, a little home streak. And then the Bulls, you know, have a tough road stretch over a couple of weeks. No back-to-backs, really, but it's sort of stretched out over 2 weeks with a couple of tough games that I'll talk about next week. I should add my little commercial thing here, like all the hosts do on ESPN where they're selling all sorts of products. I don't really get anything extra for this, but how you find this podcast, I'm told, is at Bulls.com. That I know where that is. Bulls.com/Sam Smith, and then iTunes. And subscribing to Sam Smith, that would be me, Sam Smith Podcast, is the easiest way to get that every week. And you open the iTunes and you search Sam Smith, and I'm not personally actually there, but I think my voice is. And then I'm told that you should, if you like it, you should just review and its ranking. And in all fairness, I should also say that if you don't like it, I would like to hear, but then we're not going to put you in the prize drawing for anything. Now, right now, we don't have any prizes, but if we do, we're not putting you in anyway. Before I get to the podcast again next week, the Bulls are going to play the Pacers, and I think, you know, with all these, you know, Miami, I don't see anybody in the East competing with Miami this year. The way LeBron, the level LeBron's playing with, Wade is coming on strong. You know, Ray Allen is really good off the bench. I mean, they're so much better and more confident than they were last year. And, you know, they waltz through a lot of games, but they come back so strong and come back and just defend you so vociferously at the end of games that it becomes hard to score. They're not quite the Pistons of the 80s, but, you know, they get a little lead on you at the end of the game. It's hard for you to score. And the Pacers have been, other than the Heat, the best team in the East for the last month. Surprising to me, actually, they've scored so much. As I watched them all season and the games with the Bulls, I just didn't see where all their offense was going to come from. You know, Hibbert can't score in the middle. You know, slow player, obviously big, defensively bothers some shots, but, you know, as much as you try to go inside out, you're not going to throw to him. David West, not an overwhelming scorer. Paul George has obviously come on, made the All-Star team. You know, we knew even a couple of years ago when the Bulls played that first-round series and he was defending Derrick Rose that this guy looked like he was going to be a great athlete, and now he's probably the steal of that draft. And great draft pick from Larry Bird that really did a great job. But that team has come on, put some big numbers on teams, really playing well as a team. It reminds me a lot of the Bulls in the sense that, you know, they're a team without – I shouldn't say without a star. You know, they saw Danny Granger's just coming back, but he hadn't played all season. So we'll see, how he fits in. But it's obviously going to help him on some level as it goes on. And obviously the Bulls have a huge star with Derrick Rose. But I wrote about this some in my Monday NBA column in Bulls.com and had a nice talk with Donnie Walsh, who's one of the great guys in basketball. And I'm thrilled for him. He's back in Indiana and out of New York, where they sort of, but nobody probably dealt with the New York media better than Donnie, who's just a genial guy and a good basketball guy. But we were talking about, you know, teams like the Bulls and his team, the Pacers, you know, because there's always been this notion, you know, in basketball, and it gets brought up about the Bulls and by Bulls fans a lot, is we need this second star. I hear from fans all the time, well, how are you going to get the second star? You need a second star. And, you know, I'm not necessarily of the opinion that you have to. you know, you've, I mean, it's sort of become this formula because of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade hooking up, and you know, Chris Bosh. I wouldn't consider him a star. I mean, with him, Toronto couldn't even make the playoffs when he was there. Only made it a couple of times. But Donnie made a good point. He talked about Magic and Kareem coming together, and you know, when you add Worthy becomes then a star. Once they win, and then, you know, I think that's sort of the case with Chris Bosh. He's a good player, no question, but not individual star talent. And there just really aren't many of these guys in the NBA. There's maybe five or six guys who are what you'd call legitimate max kind of players. And a lot of teams legitimately compete for titles, you know, without this multiple star thing. I think the Boston thing, you know, partially because it's a East Coast market, gets played up a little more. But this three-star formula, I don't know how much the combination of Garnett, Pierce, and Ray Allen were these three superstar players. Ray Allen certainly wasn't a very good player, you know, but never that kind of player. You know, in Milwaukee, wasn't when he was traded to Seattle. You know, great shooter, but sort of, you know, sort of a Reggie Miller type of guy. And Reggie, you know, as good as he was and a Hall of Famer, never made All-NBA first or second team. And then if you think, if you look at, you know, some of the teams over the years that won, you know, Detroit in 04, they didn't have an all-star that whole season. The Mavs, I think, what was it, 11? You know, with Dirk, their second best player was Jason Terry. So part of putting together, trying to be a championship team, doesn't necessarily mean, you know, my view, and in fact, that Detroit team in 04, you know, that Laker team had four Hall of Famers. I mean, granted, Malone and Payton were toward the end of their careers, but Shaq and Kobe weren't. And so, you know, you can play with those teams if you're a team. If you're well-coached, disciplined, have a star player. You know, the Bulls have one with Derrick Rose, unquestionably star player. The Pacers now have one with Paul George. We'll see. Granger has been an all-star, and he's not quite at that level, but certainly, you know, a comparable level to Luol Deng. Different kind of player, a little more of a scorer and shooter, but not nearly as versatile a player, unselfish, and a defender as Luol Deng. And I probably rank Luol Deng, and I think most people in the NBA do rank Deng higher, you know, overall among small forwards. And so, you know, if you have depth and you have the elements of, you know, a team that plays defense, you know, like the Pacers, plays a very good defensive team that plays hard, brings in some guys off the bench who will compete, you know, and have some elements of, you know, a very good rebounding team, and, you know, match the Bulls, you know, in a lot of ways with the elements they have, those teams, you know, can have success. I don't see breaking up a team like that, you know, to add a Carmelo Anthony, for say, and not to diminish Anthony, but, you know, to get a player like that, you've got to give up, you know, you're going to give up Noah, you're going to give up Doan Deng, and that's back then, a couple of years ago, what it would have taken to get Anthony, you know, and now you sacrifice a lot of your elements of defense and putting together a team and teamwork. You know, it's unfair in a lot of, I shouldn't say unfair, but you can't make the comparison with Miami, you know, because of the elite player. You know, LeBron James transcends virtually everybody in the game. And when there's a guy, you know, a player around like that, you know, just sometimes you can't beat him. You know, nobody could beat Michael in the 90s. There were, you know, that's why, I mean, look, you had Patrick Ewing, you had Karl Malone, Charles Barkley. These are all Hall of Fame players, you know, first ballot, as it were. Didn't get titles, and they didn't get titles because Michael Jordan happened to be there. Just like in the 80s in the Western Conference, there were some great players, never basically could get to the finals because Magic Johnson was there. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't because Kareem was a great player and led that Milwaukee team in the early 70s to a title behind him. But by the time in the 80s, he was, you know, getting on in his late 70s with the Lakers. They were, I think they missed the playoffs and were barely a playoff team, you know, with Kareem until Magic came along. And in fact, George Andrews, who was Magic's agent at the time, a Chicago attorney, you know, very well-known Chicago attorney and sports agent, said that Magic, you know, when he was at Michigan State, his sophomore year, he was ready to come out, and the Bulls had the coin flip with the Lakers, which was then a coin flip for the number one pick. Magic was leaning toward coming toward Chicago. He was hoping because he felt Artis Gilmore was a better player at that stage than Kareem and would fit better with him. and obviously also closer to home, wanted to stay in the Midwest. And very much, you know, if you go back to Wilt and Russell, you know, I mean, obviously the Celtics had four or five other Hall of Famers with them. But when you have those kind of players, it can thwart a great player, and that happens. But the other part is, you know, they've got to do it. You know, Michael made some great shots, you know, made incredible plays. You know, the sequence where he stole the ball from Malone and then makes his last shot earlier in, you know, in those series in the year before, in 97, game-winning shots in the first game of the series. Is LeBron going to hit every one of those? You know, maybe not. And if Guy doesn't hit, you know, the Pacers in 98 get to seventh game with the Bulls, and they're leading with 5 minutes to go. And Larry Bird will tell you to this day that jump ball with 5 minutes to go turned the game around. And that's how close they were. The Pacers were on, you know, in position to beat the Lakers in the finals in 2000. They win Shaq fouls out. And Kobe has this phenomenal overtime period, and they steal a game, or else they would have been going to Game 7 in L.A. So I know we all look back and say, when somebody won, it's because they won. I felt unquestionably the Bulls were the better team last year compared to Miami, given the depth, given the size, and given the presence of Rose. But once Rose got hurt in Game 1, that was over. So you say, well, the Bulls were out in the first round, and Miami won the title. How could you compare them? But, you know, things happen. So going into that Monday game at the beginning of March in Indiana, you know, I think is a good game for, you know, a good test for both teams. Two teams that play similarly, and defensive teams, and probably playing for the division. And, you know, in a sense, right now Indiana's looking like the team that could get into the conference finals with Miami, but I think any of four or five teams can, once, you know, if they get healthy and get going toward the end of April. The Bulls are one of those. The Knicks, maybe Brooklyn. I don't think so. Brooke Lopez had a big game with no Bulls having no front line, and I've noticed lately they haven't even been playing him down the stretch. So, you know, so they have some issues, and Joe Johnson is now been out a little bit with the dreaded plantar fasciitis. So we know that could be anywhere from an hour to a month. So nobody fully knows. And then speaking of a month, you know, we're heading into March, and it doesn't appear Derek is going to play in February like it was much expected. That said, I have to make the disclaimer, as is a disclaimer on everything I write too. It's always good to disclaim around me that I haven't discussed this with management, not that they would discuss it with me. So, you know, it's not inside information about Derek. We all know he's been shooting before the games. He's done some dunking. You know, he did say in his interviews last week, or whenever that was, that, you know, he's not dunking in traffic. The team, after the All-Star break, scrimmaged a little to benefit him because they basically don't scrimmage. Of course, a lot of their players weren't in the scrimmages because Noah and Boozer and, you know, these guys had various injuries and were resting Heinrich. So, you know, really, it's really hard to say they were basketball level. You know, that said, I've always felt that it's 50-50 whether Derek plays this season. You know, I think it's a key medical issue. I've been watching Rubio, who's just starting to play well and move like he did before his surgery. And this is, you know, 11 months in for him now from his surgery. And in 11 months for Derek, it would be the end of March. And then you're close to the playoffs, and, you know, how many games do you get? How many games do you need to play? You know, he wouldn't be coming back, you would think, playing big minutes. And so I think there's, you know, still serious medical questions to be raised. But, you know, my sense is that, you know, he will give it a try. He will be back on the court sometime. And you know, then the question is just, you know, how much he'll push himself, how much will be expected of him. You know, so I think there's so many more, you know, questions going to be raised. I think the possibility, at least for me, would be, you know, see him in April, and then, you know, if it's not perfect, then sit him down for the playoffs. You know, this is not the final season in the history of the NBA. So I think there are any number of different scenarios that could present themselves. But I'm sort of getting the sense, watching his workouts and seeing how much he's into it these days, that, you know, he's going to want to give it a try. If the doctors pass on it, which is Jerry Reinsdorf and the Bulls have made that clear, The doctors have to say he faces no risk of injuring himself again. And if he doesn't, if he faces no risk of injuring himself again, if that comes from the doctors, then I suspect he'll give it a try and probably somewhere mid to late March. And then if not, if the doctors say there's a 5 or 10% risk, then I think gets to the point where we say, look, he's a strong mental kid. He doesn't need these extra 5 or 10 games. He'll be fine next season. Let's get it to where he's playing 35 minutes. So I think it's, you know, that's going to be an interesting thing hanging over the rest of the season. And obviously, as it gets closer, we'll be able to talk about it more. So, you know, I'm going to give this one a like, but I was hesitating. I'm not sure if I, I'm seeing my thumb. It's going up a little bit, but not fully. Anyway, tune in next week. And big road trip from there off to San Antonio, and then with a big game in LA with the Lakers, and who knows if they'll actually be competing for eighth place. Pretty exciting. All right, have a good week.